I thought maybe you turned it, I thought you turned it up because.
Yeah, it is, it's turned up, so I'll turn it to 70. Make it kick in. Okay.
I'm really, really, really glad to be here. I don't take these opportunities lightly, any opportunity to share God's word, whether it's, you know, Lucy.
Pause it. Yeah, okay.
Get a drink here.
Are you cold, hon?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I can turn it, I no, can I'm turn good. It off. Mike's in his office, so it feels just right.
So these past few months, Sherry and I have been, we've been in the Rocky Mountains.
Oh,
yesterday we were in the Sierras, and then in Taiwan, believe it or not, it's an island, right? About the size of Israel. It's not real big. They have 14,000 foot mountains there, as
that's
high as the Rockies.
Yeah,
I had no idea. We didn't get to see them because we were up north. We're talking snow. It's subtropical in South Taiwan. It's almost to the Philippines. It's not far from the, just north of the Philippines. They have 14,000 foot mountains. These are 4,000 feet higher than the Sierras.
That's like
and
the
you're looking at them from sea level. So,
oh yeah.
I mean, it's just, I didn't get to see it, but in my mind, in Colorado where we lived for years, you're a mile high looking at the Rockies.
Right.
You're already a mile, so you're looking at an additional 9,000 to 10,000 feet from where you're looking.
Yeah.
But if you were on the sea level and looking at the mountain, these are coastal mountains that are 14,000 feet high. It's staggering.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been, you know, thinking of how beautiful that is. But think about the role of mountains in the Bible. Let's just throw out there, what are some famous stories surrounding a mountain?
Mount Sinai,
where Moses received the law, or he received his commissioning first to go back to Egypt, but then to receive the law, right? The Torah, first five books of the Bible. Mount Moriah.
I was going to say Mount Zion, but that's the same.
Mount Zion is where David pitched the tabernacle. Or the temple was built on Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Mount Horeb?
Horeb, yeah.
What is that?
Mount Horeb. That's north, wasn't it?
Mount Horeb. Well, there's Mount Hermon.
There's a mountain.
We'll talk about that one, the Mount of Transfiguration.
What happened to Mount Horeb? It's north, I think. It's more like almost to Lebanon or Syria.
I like Mount Carmel where Elijah slew all the false prophets.
Yes. That was one of my favorite
450
places.
Of them until the blood filled the creek at the bottom of the mountain.
And then he ran and hid because he thought he was going to be killed.
Yeah.
Okay, Mount Horeb.
Mount Nebo is where Satan and God, what did they do? They argued over the body of Moses.
Oh, yeah, that's not funny.
No, it's not.
But why would you do that?
What would they do that for?
God hit him. Let's see, Mount Horeb, Gilboa. Don't know that one.
Anyway, so mountains are prominent geographical features, but they're also prominent. As you read, I love mountains. And so when I was reading Matthew, I realized that there's five mountains in Matthew that are mentioned. And I go, that is really cool. And so I wanted to share with you because I think the scripture talks about our journey as a Christian is that we're to journey from glory to glory. We're in this process of being transformed into the likeness of Christ. That's really the purpose. If you boil everything down to the goal of a Christian is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the goal. That's basic. The purpose of the Christian life is to be conformed into the likeness of Christ. So everything we go through has purpose. There's nothing that doesn't have purpose. And if we keep the purpose and the goal in mind, God, I want to glorify you while you conform me to the likeness of Christ. That's it. That's really what it comes down to. Everything rises and falls on that. So the good times, the hard times, the evil times, the bad times, all of those things, we, no matter what we're going through, whether we're being persecuted, mourning, hungry or thirsty, in a disunified situation where it needs peace, or we feel destitute or merciless, all of those things, we can glorify God and experience his joy and be conformed to the image of Christ. That person who has that burning in their spirit all the time is going to have a leg up on everybody else, you know, or able to bring the person of, be able to really help people. I hope I can be like that. I really do. I know I don't often, but that's really what is coming down to me. You know, I've faced some situations, facing my own mortality, and boy, it wakes you up. Really wakes you up to what's really important and what's really, really not important. So the first mountain is Mount, here at the Sermon on the Mount, right? Sermon on the Mount. And so, and what I did is I just kind of said, okay, what's the revelation of Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount? If you boil it all down, what do we learn about who Jesus is on the Sermon?
The Son of God.
He's the teacher.
He taught that he was the Son of God.
He sat down and he taught. Right?
Yes.
He sat down and he taught him. The first encounter we have with Jesus is as a teacher, a preacher. He's the teacher. So we'll just put T here. Teacher.
Jesus.
What does it require of us to know Jesus as the teacher?
To listen.
To listen. To listen and obey. Why?
Oh, yeah.
Because at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about the two builders. One built the foundation on the sand. One built the dug down and built the foundation on the rock. The storms came. The floods rose. The one with the sand was no more. The one that was on the rock stood. And he said, so is the one who listens and obeys. Right? That's basic. I mean, that's Jesus as the teacher. That's the first mountain.
That's good.
The second mountain is Matthew 17, 1. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, he wanted to build tabernacles. While they were still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. Now, the key to this mountain, I believe, is in verse 9. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And in the other Gospels, he talks about, here it is. And he answered and said to them, Elijah's coming and will restore all things. But I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, I will say to you that Elijah already came. They did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. So Jesus is shifting the narrative in this mountain. from the teacher to what? What's the revelation of Jesus here? He's the Son of Man. Son of Man, bore and the suffering servant.
Suffering servant, that's it.
Where is that scripture that you're...
Matthew 17, 1 through 12. Yeah. Here's what I believe here is that the discipline of the Christian under Jesus' teacher is listening and obeying. The discipline under Jesus as the Son of Man is beholding.
Behold,
Because see, they beheld him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Yep. They beheld him transform. He was inwardly pressed out of. He was turned inside out. His glory was shown. Peter talks about this in his epistle. We beheld the glory of his majesty. He was talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw him for who he really was, just for a moment. And the heavens opened just like at his baptism. This is significant. And the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." What the Father was saying is he's sinless and now he's gone to the cross. It was the Father witnessing to Moses and Elijah that he will fulfill the law. Moses the law, Elijah the prophets. He will be, and I see him as my sinless Son. The Son of Man who's going to suffer. That's how I see it. Eventually, Pontius Pilate would agree. Say, I see no reason for this man to be delivered up for his sin. Even a fallen Roman pagan saw the witness. The religious people didn't see it. They wanted to crucify him because he declared himself God and forgiving sins. You know, so... So anyway, this is where, you know, 2 Corinthians 3:15 through 17, it says, we all with unveiled faces behold his glory and are being transformed. As we behold his glory, we are transformed from glory to glory. The third mountain is the Mount of Olives. Chapter 24, verse 3. And these are his instructions about the end times. The signs of his second return.
23 or 24? 24:3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really getting into it.
Good. 24:3, 17:1, 5:1. Those are the verses in Matthew. And what's the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ here is, drum roll please.
I'm sorry. I'm
teacher, right, son of man. Sorry. He's talking about things to come.
Prophet.
The prophet. The prophet. And our response to the prophetic ministry of Jesus Christ, he says it over and over again in Luke 2, watch and pray. Be ready. Watch and pray. That's watching, right. And praying. So here we, as a teacher, we're listening to obey. As the Son of Man, the suffering servant, we're beholding him for transformation. As we behold his glory, we're changed into that glory. We're always looking for the glory of God. Here is the prophet. We are watching. We want to be awake and praying for the things that are coming upon the earth, difficult things. We want to be found ready. So it's watching and praying.
Watch and pray. That looks like a mountain now. Now it's a mountain. That's snow up there.
That's above Timberline.
Yeah.
So the fourth one is 27.3, Golgotha, Mount Calvary.
Oh. Gosh, how did we miss all those mountains? We never named one of those mountains.
Well, it was a hill.
I know.
I mean, I lived there for 3 months. It's definitely the highest point in Jerusalem. I think the crucifixion is where the Holy Sepulchre church is.
You do.
And it is higher. Yeah. It is higher.
Is it?
So it was considered a hill. Yeah.
It seemed like we were down.
Yeah, from the surrounding area.
Okay.
But the old song, Mount Calvary.
We named all
an elevated place, right? It was an elevated place. We know that for a fact.
Well, these are holy places.
Yeah. And to me, you know, the issue is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God.
Our sacrifice.
Who takes away the sins of the world.
Perfect sacrifice.
And for me, this is the believing.
Believing?
Yeah.
And what was the scripture on this one?
27.3.
27.3.
Yeah,
okay, Matthew 27.3.
Yeah. Paul talks about the life I now live. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the three crosses. One of them believed, one of them didn't. It's the place of faith.
Okay.
Faith in the Son of God.
Place of faith.
Who taketh away the sins of the world. John said that. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The fifth mountain is 28:16, and then we will be done. Verse 16 says of 28, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this is the mountain number 5. To me,
a picture of it.
And to me, this is go into all the world, right, and preach the gospel.
Great commission.
Right. The,
or what's a better word? What are you looking for?
Well, I put both because there's a little bit of controversy here because at Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he ascended on the Mountain of Olives. Here they go to Galilee, and he gives them the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So he ascended after 40 days, according to Luke and...
Well, it has to be in Acts 2, doesn't it?
Yeah, he ascended 40 days after the resurrection. He taught for 40 days and then ascended. So I'm kind of lumping this fifth mountain together. It's a mountain where they're commissioned to go and preach the gospel, but it's also a mountain where they beheld him ascend into heaven. So to me, it's two things. It's the lion. He's going to come again as the lion.
Oh, yeah.
Loving his appearing. So it's the lion.
The Lion of Judah.
But it's also the apostle. He's the apostle.
Yeah.
He's the apostle and high priest of our commission. He's commissioning the apostles, right, to go into all the world. Apostle means a sent one, someone who's sent. So here's the line of the tribe of Judah who's going to ascending, who's going to come again saying, in the meantime, go into all the world. I'm going to come, but you have work to do. Go into all the world. So he's speaking to them as the apostle who's ascending, but will come again in like manner. He'll come in glory as the lion to judge in wrath. Not to save, but to save, he's coming in wrath. The fury of his wrath the second time. So
this is called the Mount of Ascension?
Yeah, you could call it the Mount of Ascension. Or it was actually the Ascension we know is on the Mount of Olives at Bethany.
Oh, okay. Then
but the commissioning was in Galilee. That's where, you know.
Okay.
I see them both. I'm just putting them one and the same.
Okay. Commission is what I'm doing. The mountain of commission is what I'm doing. Where he's
but
commissioning
here,
us to go into all
the believers.
That's his
discipline.
Final
these are all the believers' disciplines. You get this,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is going.
Going. Yeah.
Yeah. And waiting.
Going and waiting for his return.
Which is the tension. Because he said, go, you have to wait in Jerusalem before you go. You got to wait for power before you go. So there's always a tension between, you know, the lion and the apostle. He says go, but he says you need power first. So you need to wait in Jerusalem and I'll give you my spirit. I'll clothe you with power to be my witnesses. Until I come back. So, it's waiting and going, going and waiting. Waiting and going and waiting.
It's really
good.
So.
Yeah.
The five mountains.
We didn't take this.
No, we did. I started.
You did. You hit pause.
It's on right now.
Oh, it did. Oh, okay. Oh, good. I thought you paused. Oh, I wonder if I hit the wrong thing for the first one.
You might have. It's all
right. I did, because I hit the red button.
We're good. Any questions?
I took good notes. That was excellent. Yeah.
Very good.
My gosh, honey. Yeah. I want to go to your church. That was wonderful, sweetheart.
I'm
impressed. Thank you, Lord. That
but
was.
But I thought I always look for how
Lord.
To break down
that
scripture
different.
And you know just kind of make it different to read and different ways to look at
the
it.
Mountains. I can relate to that. The mountains. That'll help me recall a lot or how to live it out.
You can take a picture if you want.
Yes.
Phone,
I didn't get
and
ready
I can interpret
to do
it later.
Yeah. Maybe
someone
that.
Can put a PowerPoint together. I'm not real good at PowerPoint.
Next Tuesday, I said we were taking it off because it's our anniversary weekend. So we don't really have plans, but they're still here. So,
oh, good.
So there won't be Bible study.
You won't be here next Tuesday?
No.
Shame on you.
I know.
The first?
Yeah. Okay. No. I am going to cancel that. Unless the Lord hits him with something and we call an emergency session. Because he gets strokes. He